podcast, the podcast. You listen to the podcast at Shameless Mass. You listen to the podcast at podcast.shamelessmass.com, bro.
Are you ready, boys?
Yeah, braced and ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
Hands got the clapping. Got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping, Ian's got the clapping, the fingers got the snapping.
When the next podcast comes out.
Hi, I'm EBA.
Hi, I'm Sir Moses Pierce.
I'm Amber Hates to Lose.
I'm Snoop Toddy Top.
I'm John.
No, you're the Brackular. There you go. The Brackular. The Brackular.
The Brackular.
But like the Batman, they often
drop. Who the hell uses the Z? It's just.
Except no substitutes. Ask for genuine Brackular and only use genuine Brackular parts.
Yes.
Getting Brackular service.
The Brackular.
The Brackular.
So it's the Brackular. Occasionally I'll mix it up and I'll spell a T-E-H so I can be like Tabe Brackular.
Hey, yeah.
But.
I'm sorry, hi.
Yeah.
So
I just kind of died. Sorry.
Well, hold on. You can check me out online at shapelessmass.com.
I'm not sure I have a website anymore. Oh. You can check me out at.
Is that your other website? Your website's still active.
Pop Americana?
I think I need to pay the bill on it.
It may soon become inactive.
It might soon become active.
Is it dead?
By the time the podcast comes out.
At some point, something will happen with the website. We're not sure.
Yes.
I guess it is dead because it would come up by now.
Yes. Well, you should check out my Flickr. Yeah.
Okay.
I got that paid off.
So what's your Flickr page?
It's just flickr.com/photos/sirmiltrepairs. Just Google me. You know,
okay.
I'm famous enough. They've linked me in.
Amber's homeless.
You have a website, don't you?
No.
MySpace page or something?
No.
You have a MySpace page?
No,
so
I don't.
You're not down with the MySpace?
You have a Facebook page?
I don't have a MySpace or Facebook, no.
Yeah, I have two.
Why don't you just give out your mobile number?
What's your, you have a webpage, though, right?
No, I don't yet. I'm working
you
on
it. You have a domain name?
Well, you used to.
I used to, but I want to start out with a new one, so.
Okay.
Look out for mummyguts.com.
Right. Okay.
Guts is spelled G-U-T-Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the proper way.
Z is for not gangster.
Because you're gangster from hardcore streets.
Z is for a zipper.
Yeah.
Z is for Zutala.
Zutala.
Or Zoltan.
Zoltan.
And,
there you go.
Zoltan.
John
doesn't really
have a
Zoltan
page.
I have a live journal that I haven't updated in like 2 years.
Well, that's helpful.
That's most people.
And I finally got a Facebook account.
Okay. Brackular.
Yeah.
Just Google Brackular.
Yeah. It's just
as he says that, he shotguns double deuces at us.
Double deuces. Well, because you guys are like, I have this website, and I have this website, and I have all my websites everywhere and everything.
Not me. I'm
I just, I got my Wimbass Facebook page. I'm sorry. I suck. Why do you have to hate me?
Do you have, I own one of those shirts. Why am I... Rats. I think it was the rats that ate it.
I love that you're distracted by my shirt.
Please remember to send all email, all hate mail, and all comments to ebaofvn@gmail.com and sirmildredpierce@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
You want to hear some music?
Yeah, you want to play some Richard Cheese? Richard Cheese head?
Play some Richard Cheese.
Play some Down with the Sickness.
Let's play Down with the Sickness.
And then follow it up with Welcome to the Jungle. If
I was going
to
say, we should follow it up with a Weird Al polka.
They're like 3 seconds long. You should follow it up with, like, you know, follow it up with something else,
long.
At least.
They're not 3 seconds.
They're at least four.
Yeah.
I should have brought my external hard drive.
You should have. Did you bring anything?
No.
Is this your first time on the podcast? Like,
yeah. Yeah, we played that really awesome Aesop Rock song that I showed you guys the video for. Maybe watch the video and then just play it.
Well, I think I know what you're talking about. Nunchal
so,
pass.
Yeah, Nunchal Pass.
Come up. Let's go.
And
it's done. Let's do it.
That makes my heart.
Well, here's Down the Sand.
Aww.
Beautiful song.
I love this.
Do you feel that? Oh shit. Oh wah ah ah ah. Oh wah ah ah ah. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Like this, duty and death. Anyone object, come stand in the way.
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help.
Was I really like that song now. When it first came out, I hated it. But then I saw the video for it, and I don't know what it was. Some other video made me appreciate it.
Oh, there's another video of the guy painting the big pig, and it has like a highways and stuff like through, but the cities come out on top of it. It looks really nice. It's on my ASOS on space.
Cool.
Let's go ahead and see what our fortunes are for this podcast. So I'm going to break up on a fortune. We got several. You want to do more than one, or you just
want
to?
I want one.
And I have to say, Sir Mildred, I do appreciate that you've been trying to keep the covered in slime thing alive. It's hard to do.
Yeah, but they really don't work.
Well, I think you guys have just had a bad run, is my
opinion. I don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, I'll try it with this one. You ready? This one says 9, 12, 16, 20, 26, 29.
Flip it over, two
covered
bag.
In slime. Actually, this one might work better with covered in slime.
Go for it.
A good movie will inspire you to reach for the stars covered in slime.
You will find your solution where you least expect it. Covered in slime.
In bed.
No, I expect a lot of solutions to come from bed, actually.
Yeah, I think bed's better for that.
Tomorrow will be lucky for you. Lucky and memorable for you.
In bed.
In bed.
I say covered in slime in bed.
That's just too far.
I'm offended.
It would be memorable, though.
Yeah.
And barely rocky.
Movie reviews for movies we've never seen.
21.
Cucumbers.
21? 21? 21? Good.
Sure,
going.
Okay. 23?
Taken under the wing of a math professor at MIT, Kevin Spacey, a group of students take their card counting skills to Vegas.
Right. I'm familiar with the story that that's based on, so I'm actually kind of want to see it.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't think of a bad movie with Kevin Spacey in it.
American
K-Pax.
Beauty.
I like K-Pax.
K-Pax was good.
You know what? I had
wasn't that bad.
Pay Forward.
I like Pay Forward.
I know it was just like Starman, but
I didn't like American Beauty. That's just me.
That's going to be awesome.
American Beauty is
a good movie.
Yeah, you're right. American Beauty. What was I thinking?
Seven.
Yeah, that's
a horrible movie.
B-movie.
What the fuck,
crap.
Man? Oh, yeah.
No, for real, there's got to be
Superman Returns.
Actually,
he was the only good thing about Superman.
Yeah, that's
Returns,
a good point.
He was the villain.
Because
he was totally
awesome.
Hamming it up.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah.
He plays Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Which it was a really good fit for him, but the movie
except
just
for the baldness. Well, he was already balding.
Yeah, I mean, you shave his head. It's the same thing with Gene Hackman. You shave your head, you look like Lex Luthor. But he wasn't bald, so it worked.
And yet they won't hire Michael Stipe. To the role.
I don't know that Michael Stipe would fit.
Who is Michael Stipe?
I mean, he's evil and he's bald.
So this movie, I'm going to say...
Have you never heard of U2?
I don't know.
So, 21, I'm going to say 7 stars.
Yeah.
No, what? I'm going to say 21 stars.
Oh.
3.
Not allowed.
2 plus 1.
And if I put down another 5 stars, it'd go best. The stars have to add up to 21
that's,
to be
that's
a
good
movie.
Point. What was I thinking? So what you're saying is that the stars have to align.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, seven. I'll go back to my original 7.
Okay, so 7 plus
3.
3.
Yeah.
I'll catch you when it comes to video.
4.
If somebody else pays it and I got
another
bet
going on.
I'll give it a 4.
Dang,
so that's 14, so you guys get to split the next.
Everyone's taking that seriously.
I was seriously going to go with 4.
Come on, it's a true story based on math. How boring could it be?
It's math.
It's a true story based on math.
And people making money off the man.
Oh, and there's a whole subplot about watching paint dry. It does get really interesting when they visit the sausage factory.
I'd rather hang out with Stephen Hawking, though.
Oh, God.
You say that like hanging out with Stephen Hawking would be boring. Let's see, he's an electronic voice.
Yeah, you can just download his voice.
You know, he's got like a robot exosuit like in his closet that he's just climbing around the house with when nobody's around.
And he eats Cubans.
Probably, yeah.
And I understand he sucks the blood of virgins.
See, that was just too far. It was just,
and the stem cells of little aborted babies.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, that was too far. You're back on the cliff. She's over it.
That was my point.
Anyway, next movie.
All right.
Wait, did you get a star?
Well, I like yours, so I'm going to say 7 too.
Okay, so okay. I think we busted.
You can't give it any stars.
We already gave it 4 stars.
Oh, well, we're screwed then.
I mean, I'm sure he's done some bad movies. I just can't think of a bad movie.
And he
I mean,
never will
weak,
do a bad
even
movie.
Even his weak movies, like Paypax, I would say is it wasn't a great movie. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed Pay It Forward, but they weren't bad. They were just
weak.
They were better than most of what's out there, but and they're even somewhat memorable, and that's got to say something, both of them.
Okay, The Happening. M. Night Shyamalan's newest paranormal thriller about a family trying to escape a natural crisis that threatens all of humanity.
Dun, twist! Dun, dun.
Starring Mark Wahlberg and John Leguizamo.
Mark. Just say Marky Mark.
Which, I know Marky Mark. Feel it.
So the twist on this one's going to be at the end that it turns out that all along they were actually auditioning for New Kids on the Block.
That would be. I would see it if that was the twist ending. I would plunk
like,
down
all
my
these
10
people
harder.
Dying and stuff, and they get there and they're like, "This is horrible." And then that, like, this you know, this curtain parts. And there's like a stage, and they're you know up there, like, "Oh, okay."
No, I think what's going to end up happening is all the what's going to turn out to be all the people that voted for Bush.
What?
Huh?
You're gonna have to walk us through the logic on that one.
I was gonna make a cricket chirping noise. I'm sorry, Tom.
It happens.
Snoop, Tidy Todd.
So what happens in this world?
I'm legitimately interested in the logic path that got you to that combat. I mean, douche chair.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. Did you say douche chair?
Douche chair.
Oh, okay.
Now, is it the people that really voted for Bush, or the ones that Diebold claimed they did?
I think both.
Okay, so the unfortunate souls who have had their vote stolen still have to get sucked into M. Night Shyamalan's mystery.
Happening.
What happens? Yes, The Happening.
The Happening, yeah.
Yes, The Happening. What exactly is happening?
Yeah, what
Marky Mark feels it. That's all you need to know.
I guess it's a hack to
it's like
a,
it sounds
it's
like...
Such a good... No, we are not playing that. I don't have it. Don't bother asking.
No, I know this movie is being hyped as M. Night Shyamalan's first R movie.
Oh, really?
Really? I did not know that.
Well, yeah, and
yeah,
would
be, yeah.
He hasn't done an R movie.
Well, I think
before.
It's. I think
he
it's
must be getting desperate.
They're supposed to be doing. There's supposed to be some grisly deaths. In it.
Yeah,
that's.
There gonna be titties.
What I've heard about it, you know, from like back channel chatter on the internet, is that the twist is that there is no twist ending. What you think is going to happen right off the top from the beginning is what actually happens in the end. So, like, everybody was faked out. And he's all like, haha, no twist ending, bitches. And all
twist.
The critics in America went like, fuck you. So, like, it's been just totally panned by everybody. My little brother, loves M. Night Shyamalan unconditionally. And he called me up, like, this morning, was like, did you see it? And he's like, I said no, because I went to see the Hulk.
Oh.
And he was like, don't waste your time. It sucked. Yeah.
Whoa.
So
that's the Paul.
See, that would be the twist.
Yeah, the like psycho-looking guy.
The next movie he makes, the movie's actually good.
Yeah, and nobody will go and see it. That's the gag.
Like he's been slowly like lowering everyone's standards.
Well, what was the twist in the last movie you did? I can't remember.
I don't even remember. I didn't. No, I didn't see Lady in the Water. Yeah, I didn't even see it.
Basically, a twist because it was like
They got to the end. They're like, oh my god, we're in a movie. Dun dun dun. And then faded to black and rolled credits.
Was that the twist?
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, like the whole movie's about this guy. He finds these people who live in this imaginary fictional story.
Right.
And he follows them, he helps them out, blah, 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 and has all these adventures. And then when they get to the end, you realize that they're actually in the movie that you are watching.
Really?
Yes.
I'm weird of that.
Yeah.
Did you see
it? Well, I remember the part where the wing thing comes carry.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
How come I know this and you haven't? Don't. You've seen it and I haven't. I mean, what the fuck?
Lots
of nervous. No, I didn't see it. I didn't see
it. That is the twist. I don't know.
I think what the twist should be in this ending is that Marky Mark goes back in time and crash lands in Washington, D.C. And, you know, there's the Washington, the Lincoln Memorial with a monkey head on it? Because that would make sense
monkey.
For this movie. That would actually fit
monkey.
Here.
Right at the climax when the bad guy, and you know, like, there's a big standoff between him and whatever the force is, that all of a sudden his pants fall down.
And he's wearing Calvin Klein.
Yeah. it's such a good vibration. He's like, come on.
It turns into a musical number, and like everybody's holding hands, and that's how they go out. That,
shiny, happy people.
Yeah,
as your brother,
how many people are left?
As your brother said, it's not like that.
All of us? I don't know.
No, I'm talking about in the movie.
It only this
that's
Marky Mark and Spawn dude, John Leguizamo.
So I'll give it 2 stars for
I give it 0 stars.
Spawn dude, that's awesome. That's what John Leguizamo.
Well, that's the only role that he's ever been in where I didn't want to fucking kill him.
Who? Which role?
John Leguizamo, the one in
Spawn.
He does
have a remarkable ability to make any character he's portraying seem just like John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him play a character that wasn't like John Leguizamo. That'd be like, wow, actually, that's impressive. Of course, I'd probably suck at it.
I'll give it a star.
A star. Wow.
I'll give it 2.
I want him to do like a sequel, like What's Happening Now.
You're awful.
Yeah, I've been waiting all night to spoil your night with that.
They should. That's the twist.
That's the twist.
At the end of Black Family
like,
shows up.
Rerun
like,
shows up.
What's happening?
Yeah. Okay. Speed Racer? Speed Racer, the classic cartoon series, comes to Lurth with Emil Hirsch into
the
wild. Lurth? Emil Hirsch.
Oh.
They came to where? Earth? Hirsch?
Comes
Lurth?
To life with
life?
Emil
you
Hirsch.
Said Lurth.
Lurth.
I did?
Yes.
Well, we will find out. Right. We have you on the recording.
All right, take 2.
That ultimate self-mont.
That's why I was like,
cartoon
I was like, did you say Lurth? And you corrected me with the name of the actor.
Well, I thought you were asking me what the name of the actor was. You know, apparently I just ran them all together.
You said Lurth instead of...
The classic cartoon series comes to life with Emil Hirsch into the wild in the title role.
His name is Speed Racer?
Yeah, Emil Hirsch plays Speed Racer.
That's
an actor. Go, Speed
Racer.
Go, Speed Racer. Go.
No, of the actor, not Speed Racer. His name is Speed.
And who is that guy?
Because he does lots of speed.
Into the wild.
Into the wild?
Wild.
Yeah, that's where the guy goes off in the woods. And
oh, yeah.
I guess.
I read that book, but I never saw the movie. I watched it.
Yeah, my sister watched it just so she could see it. Yeah, penis.
Oh, it shows penis?
I don't remember that part of the book, too, for sure.
I think maybe it was a different book that got turned into a movie.
All right.
Right on.
You know, I thought it was going to be horrible and cheesy, and it probably is still, but the trailers look actually kind of good for it. I mean, the challenge of creating the movie, certainly it looks like they pulled off the actual special effects aspect. Now, as far as the story and acting goes, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
I think they painted themselves in a corner.
They don't have much of that in the trailer.
I really think they painted themselves in a corner because, first of all, the original show was very cheesy.
Yeah.
So, the problem is, do we be true to the show and produce a really crappy, shitty, cheesy movie? Or do we not be true to it and alienate all the fans, produce a Speed Racer?
Oh, it's a huge kitsch market. I mean, like, everybody freaking loves Speed Racer back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day.
I think
about
the techno song, actually.
Are most of those people dead right now?
You would hope, but...
Or have they moved on?
Sorry, Speed Racer fans everywhere. I saw the trailer, and you know, like when you drink too much Coke and you get that I've drank too much Coke feeling in your stomach?
Uh-huh.
The trailer did that
I'm
to my
that
eyes.
Right.
So I was like, I don't think I'm going to see this movie because it'll give me, like, eye cancer.
Well,
eye cancer.
I'm certainly willing to give it a chance.
Which is the opposite of eye candy?
Yeah, it is the exact opposite of eye candy.
I have hope for it, so. I'm going to say, like,
that,
6.
Or like I get halfway through the movie and just have like a complete psychotic breakdown and start, or choking on my tongue maybe, I don't know. It looks a little too busy for me.
The brilliance of the movie.
I'm going to say 3.
Dracula.
I'm being jealous.
I'd have to go with like 2 or 3.
I'll give it 2 as long as it's teacher in the middle of it.
Because if it were to generate like a really great story about like, guess what happened when I was at the theater watching Speed Racer, like some guy died, like some guy threw up his lungs because the movie was so bad, I would go in to see it.
All of a sudden he got angry, and the next thing you know, he started shaking and revolting and fell into the lady's platform in front of him.
I'm going to play a song off the new Gnarls Barkley album. The song's called Obed Book. It's really cool. It's got this real cool kind of hey ya vibe to it.
Seen hobnobbing with the front a lot busted.
That kid's a dork, he rhyme every day on the karaoke rapping. Yo, he ain't got anything to say, ain't got no record deal, never will. Such a spaz, better get his ass some kind of a sedative.
Damn, pish posh, man, I'll come as whack as I like. Spits back on the mic, dispensing my disingenuous advice. Accuse famous rappers of biting my style. Get shot at, sit at home trying to simulate me a hi-hat.
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat.
And hoping
that if he does, it isn't weak, huh?
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat. Nerdcore, hip-hop, could reign supreme. We'll make a mention of my DJ CPU, nerdcore, hip Hip hop is the style he used. Step to my
E-A.
You better be prepared. He got
28 and 22, 50 squared.
Just a little bitty bit more than the beat you thought. Front a lot, drop kicking rhythm in the double art. Sought skinny little beats, but return with the fat of the land.
Now I got a swollen hip hop gland.
I suffer hypochondria. I think my beats is sick. Don't trip. I'ma listen to the bootleg MP3. Post the front a lot demo on my FTP. Run away from the rappers who were just like me, cause they ain't appreciating who my DJ be.
Wishing
CPU could rock a beat,
and hoping
that if he does, it isn't weak. I'm
wishing
CPU could rock a beat,
and hoping
nerdcore hip hop could reign supreme.
What's the matter with you people? I was joking. Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
Simon Cowell's, and you know why they come for you. Meows in your dressing room, meows in your gravy, even if you hide at sea. There's owls in the Navy.
Simon Cowell.
The king of the beavers, you cannot deceive us, and you can't fool owls. The king of the beavers, the king of the beavers, you cannot deceive us, and you can't fool owls.
Oh, that's so that's pretty
badger,
awesome.
Badger, badger, badger.
Badger, mushroom, mushroom. So,
got your voice.
So we
you should go on American Idol.
Right,
sing that song.
With Weave Home.
Open book, then went to front a lot with nerdcore hip hop, and then I don't know who does the owl song. That was
the cool. Internet.
It sounds very
the
internet has a song called
Owls.
You can't fool owls, and it's true. You can't
and it's got owls. Simon Cowell in it.
Yeah, not really.
Well, but there's owls in the Navy.
Anything where they're advocating beating up on Simon Cowell, sign me up.
So here we go.
Todd.
Lucky.
Everybody quiet. Reaction time is a factor in this, so please pay attention. Now answer as quickly as you can. It's your birthday. Someone gives you a calfskin wallet. How do you react?
What the fuck?
You got a little boy. He shows you his butterfly collection plus the killing jar. What do you do?
The killing jar. Kill the butterflies.
They're already dead.
They're already dead.
But would you like to kill them again?
The jar.
He doesn't understand that.
You hit your son in the face.
He doesn't understand that.
Okay. What the hell am I
Do we need to go any further?
What the fuck?
That's a little pansy.
You're watching television. Suddenly you realize there's a wasp crawling on your arm. What do you do?
Slap that bitch.
You're in the desert walking along. In the sand when all of a sudden you look down. And you look down, you see a tortoise. It's crawling toward you. You reach down and you flip the tortoise over on its back. The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over, but it can't. Not without your help. But you're not helping. Why is that?
I'm using that bitch like a snowboard.
The tortoise?
Yeah, you can get on top of the tortoise and sliding down the fucking sand and shit.
Yeah,
this one should be interesting. Describe in single words only the good things that come into your mind about your mother.
There is none.
Don't talk about my mother.
I can't remember.
You want to know about my mother? Let me tell you about my mother. John knew what this was from the first question. This is why I asked you and not him. So what is our consensus here about Todd? I say no.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Do you really want my opinion?
Yeah, what do you think?
Definitely not.
Amber, what do you think?
I have no fucking clue what you guys are talking about.
Well,
he just ran a Voight comp test. It was awesome.
Moving along.
To see if you're a Republican.
A Republican.
Is that what she just said?
Republican.
That's awesome. Are you Republican? We all thought you weren't. So.
Oh, God.
Libertarian, leaning toward anarchy.
Cool. That would be all libertarians.
Oh, shit.
Run up by the Department of Redundancy Department.
Oh. You okay, John?
Yeah, I'm going to make it.
You like that? We're asking everyone who comes on the show now.
That was good. That was good.
They've never been asked before.
I was not expecting a VK test. That was... You going to shine red light in their eyes, too? Or?
So,
listen,
okay.
For me. We just had to
get are you going to do some tests?
Zombie, pirate, ninja, robot, monkey news!
Monkey news.
I got some
zombie news.
Somebody find
zombie
a bunch news. Of dead monkeys in a warehouse.
Oh, I wish.
They were reanimated into zombies.
No, because you know what's going to happen if that ever happens. Somebody's going to be knocking on my door.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, okay, yeah, you might want to check the website out that I'm going to tell you about because that's what the news item is about. It's about zombies, of course. And the new website, LostZombies.com, a social media site dedicated to gathering definitive proof that zombies exist, announces its recent launch. Zombie videos, photos, reenactments, and other submissions will be used to create a community-generated documentary to educate the public about the reality of zombies and a potential, if not imminent, zombie apocalypse.
So, reenactments?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't always be able to get live
real zombies,
video.
Yeah, or undead zombies.
You might have to reenact it later. Like, shit. Hard copy.
Not a real zombie again, professional impersonator.
Again, undead zombies is the Department of Redundancy.
Yeah, it's just
You suck.
Well, undead's kind of weird.
Well, no, he said live. You can't get live zombies, and I was like, well, they're not really live.
Hey, what's the name of the website? We'll have to check
LostZombies.com. Check it out.
Yeah, well.
All right.
Yeah, you have
zombie photos?
Who took my zombie?
Oh, yeah, I have tons of zombie photos.
Yes, I'll find my zombie.
Running, don't let your zombie run with scissors.
I have zombie.
You know that robot Asimo?
Yes.
The Honda robot?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know him personally.
Well, it's taking a step on its way to become human-like. It's becoming more human-like because apparently...
It started downloading porn?
No, close though. It's been hired to judge rock, paper, scissor contests.
Okay.
Right, so it's smart enough to know the difference. Okay. Do you want to hear about the monkey who escaped?
Yeah, let's start with the escapee.
Yes.
Is his name Curious George?
It should be.
He was at the Washington Park Zoo in Michigan City, Indiana. Notice I like that like collaboration of confusing names.
Yeah.
Where is it? Should have expected a little monkey business.
Maybe
you get me every time. They got more than a little when a spider monkey took advantage of their presence last week to make its escape. Zoo director Johnny Martinez says the incident occurred while the workers were cleaning a note at the zoo.
Martinez, you Augustine.
I actually had somebody call up, and they pronounced their last name Martinez. It was really weird. I never met anybody with the last name of Martinez, pronounced Martinez.
That is kind of rare.
Yes. So anyway, he escaped, and they found him at the local boat dealership.
Purchasing a nice little cruiser.
Yes.
He was trying to get back to, like, Cuba or something.
For a three-hour tour.
In Michigan City.
Wow. Indiana.
Indiana. Okay. A Utah company offering online a sock monkey named for Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama says it didn't mean to anger anyone with a cute and cuddly toy that some are calling racist. We simply made a casual and affectionate observation one night in a charming association between a candidate and a toy we had when we were little, according to a statement issued Saturday by Sock Obama Limited Liability Corporation.
I notice it's a limited liability.
Yeah.
Jeanette Williams, president of the local chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, called the toy more racist than our name.
Wow, what an awesome quote.
Nah, I made that up.
Damn! I would have gained so much respect for them if they had said that.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow. We'll play one song and we'll come back.
Okay.
What are we going to hear?
Something racist.
Have we played that? Why haven't we played that?
Which song?
Okay, well, then we'll play that.
The racist song.
Apparently, we'll find out.
No, it's
How racist are you and your friends? Let's see.
Avenue Q, everyone's a little bit racist.
Oh yeah.
It's fitting.
I was hoping for something good.
I was hoping for something that would at least, you know. Yeah.
Okay. No, we're gonna play Blackout on White Night by Sage Francis.
Okay.
Is that racist enough?
Thought. Might as well have been a dream, he thought.
Lights are out, phones are dead, and I'm the only thing that's running in the city. Except for the clouds, and then they're coming down. If I knew my way around, I wouldn't feel so dizzy. Where's the telly? Nobody can tell me. I don't speak a lick of that language and got a slippery memory. If I spelled it all out on my arm, only if, but I didn't. So I think, get a grip, kid, deal with it. Baby's waiting for a ring, won't settle for the substitute excuse that's forming. I got a complicated case of escapism. For her, I try to rewire my nature, too tired to wake her up out of that artificial calm she was on. A drug-induced future that slipped out of her palm. Seductive rain dancer, she thinks I'm waterproof. Like Superman, doesn't need a roof over his head. When I come home to roost, I need truth to hold in bed. But I'm seeking salvation in a booth, and the phones are dead. And the lights are out, and I'm the only thing that's living in this ghost town. Except for the clouds, and men are coming down. If I knew my way around by now, I'd be bound for home. Blackout on white night in Rome. Blackout on white night in Rome. I know that I'm in love, but I know I'm out of touch. And I know that I get dumb when I can sense something's up. And then I bottom out, European tailspin, scrawling messages out on my pale skin in hopes they get mailed in before the ink poisoning takes effect. And it gets smudged cause I budge before letting paint set. I get judged by the ones who have shelter and rain checks while I trudge through the mud cause it's foreign terrain's wet. Regain consciousness and lose common sense. The ominous dark skies that lie between me and Providence are signs. The obvious answer isn't standing on your face with stilettos on if you pop the question wrong. Every song's a post-afterthought. I won't grab the chalk to outline my body of work. Toe tags get caught in my teeth cause my foot is in my mouth, and the spurs are in my words so my tongue can't dismount. Even after our rapport had fully run its course, couldn't figure out the most heroic time to jump from the horse and place this old hat for the last time on the coat rack. But I donate all of my earnings from this race just to know that. Resisting urges to go back and get it later, like the milk would unsour itself in the refrigerator. A wet boy in a dry, dry state on an old country road where tradition has a blind date. I make it dance on its own grave tonight with a change of direction by the pale moonlight. And if it needs theme music, I'll break out the bagpipes and play a tune you ghost wrote me in a past life that goes like. Blackout on white night in Rome.
Writing it in my head and not being able to talk.
Let's check out this video that John wants to check out.
It's a cartoon banned by the Mormon Church.
It's worth every moment. Essentially, this was done, if I have all my shit straight, this was done by the Mormon Church back in the 60s, and it was supposed to be kind of like a little primer for like, okay, this is what we believe. But it's so very deep in that pocket of weird Mormonism that they kind of was like, okay, and put it up on the shelf. And then somebody found it and like distributed it on the internet.
So it's a lot of the weird mythology.
Oh, yes.
So when you're watching this, definitely make sure you go get the video off YouTube.
You just go to YouTube and type in Mormon cartoon, and it'll come up.
Mormonism teaches that trillions of planets scattered throughout the cosmos are ruled by countless gods who once were human like us. They say that long ago on one of these planets, to an unidentified god and one of his goddess wives, a spirit child named Elohim was conceived. This spirit child was later born to human parents who gave him a physical body. Through obedience to Mormon teaching and death and resurrection, he proved himself worthy and was elevated to godhood as his father before him. Mormons believe that Elohim is their heavenly father, and that he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near a mysterious star called Kolan. Here, the god of Mormonism and his wives, through endless celestial sex, produce trillions of spirit children. To decide
the destiny of
the Mormon gods called a great heavenly council meeting. Both of Elohim's eldest sons were there. Lucifer and his brother Jesus. A plan was presented to build planet Earth, where the spirit children would be sent to take on mortal bodies and learn good from evil.
And nakedness.
Lucifer stood and made his bid for becoming savior of this new world. Wanting the glory for himself, he planned to force everyone to become gods. Opposing the idea, the Mormon Jesus suggested giving man his freedom of choice, as on other
planets. The Mormon Jesus.
The vote that followed approved the proposal of the Mormon Jesus, who would become savior of the planet Earth.
Hey, Betty.
Enraged, Lucifer cunningly convinced one-third of the spirits destined for Earth to fight with him in revolt. Thus, Lucifer became the devil, and his followers the demons. Sent to this world, they would forever be denied bodies of flesh and bone. Those who remained neutral in the battle were cursed to be born with black skin. This is the Mormon explanation for the Negro race. Spirits that fought most valiantly against Lucifer would be born into Mormon families on planet Earth. These would be the lighter-skinned people.
Yeah.
Or white and delightsome. And that is the Book of Mormon described.
Yeah.
Now you see why it's been on the shelf for 4 years.
And one of his goddess wives came to Earth as Adam and Eve to start the human race.
Is that a bird?
Thousands of years later, Elohim, in human form once again, journeyed to Earth from the starbase Kolan, this time to have sex with the Virgin Mary, in order to provide Jesus.
And also, their necks look giraffe necks, too, by the way.
Yeah. I just love that where, like, God walks up and knocks on the door and like, hey, baby, who do you call?
He took at least sex three with wives. Virgin, so she wasn't the Virgin Mary.
Martha and Mary Magdalene. Through these wives, the Mormon Jesus, for whom Joseph Smith claimed direct descent, supposedly fathered a number of children before he was crucified. According to the Book of Mormon, after his resurrection, Jesus came to the Mormons to preach to the Mormons.
No,
the Mormons believe are really Israelites.
Run back to the crosses. It's funny, the crosses.
Through these wives, the Mormon Jesus, for whom Joseph Smith claimed direct descent, supposedly fathered a number of children before he was crucified.
Great Wall of China? What the fuck?
According to God, after his resurrection, Jesus came to the Americas to preach to the Indians, who the Mormons believe are really Israelites. Thus, the Jesus of Mormonism established his church in the Americas as he had in Palestine.
This sound effects are great.
I think it's a requirement of Hollywood that every army thing has to have that go over here guy.
421 AD, the dark-skinned Indian Israelites, known as Lamanites, had destroyed all of the white Nephites in a number of great battles. The Nephites' records were supposedly written on golden plates and buried by Moroni.
It's pretty awesome.
1,400 years later, a young treasure seeker named Joseph Smith, who was known for his tall tales, claimed to have uncovered these same gold plates near his home in upstate New York.
Why would you? It's like, yeah. Oh, by the way, this whole thing's a lie.
He is now honored by Mormons as a prophet because he claimed to have had visions from the spirit world in which he was commanded to organize
the
Mormon Church.
He had a throat beard too, by the way.
Because all Christian creeds were an abomination.
It was
Joseph Smith who originated most of these peculiar doctrines, which millions today believe to be true. By maintaining a rigid code of financial and moral requirements and through performing secret temple rituals, themselves and the dead, the Latter-day Saints hope to prove their worthiness and thus become gods. The Mormons teach that everyone must stand at the final judgment before Joseph Smith, the Mormon Jesus, and Elohim.
Is this the guy who did the big anti-Jewish thing about the Jewish conspiracy?
It might be. It sounds
like
it.
Those Mormons who are sealed in the eternal marriage ceremony expect to become polygamous gods in the celestial kingdom.
Yes!
Rule over other planets and spawn new families throughout eternity.
Man, that's
the Mormons thank God for Joseph Smith, who claimed that he had done more for us than any other man, including Jesus Christ.
Well, he did tell some tall tales.
The Mormons believe that he died as a martyr, shed his blood for us, so that we too may become gods.
What happened to Joseph Smith? I forget again.
I think he died in his bed of like these
space gods.
Lynch.
Sounds like Von Dyneken or Battlestar Galactica, but we know it's bizarre. I know as a finite being, I can never become an infinite god.
What the fuck?
It's a logical absurdity. That's when I stopped believing it, but I couldn't get my wife to even talk about it. She had to divorce me and find another man that was working his way to godhood, or she could not become a god.
Are you saying that the Mormon Church pressures individuals into divorcing their spouses when they're not measuring up to the Church's standards, and also pressures them into marrying another spouse who is working for this godhood?
There's no doubt my motivation in all of this stems partly from my own personal experiences. I look back at my own life, seeing a bishop counsel me to divorce my wife, seeing my five children whom I raised in the Mormon Church pulled from me, and spending all these years just trying to reestablish those relationships. I know literally hundreds of families whose stories like this could break your heart. Brigham's only divorced because of the Mormon Church and the Mormon
Church. Are you trying to say pro-Mormon?
Well, I've only seen the cartoon. I've never seen the bit with the guys talking about, you know, documentary style, like, you know, their hate for the Mormon Church there. I've only seen the cartoon bits.
So, even the cartoon bits, seen all that.
Yeah, well, towards the end, the cartoon gets a little, you know, the Mormons are blah, blah, blah. The Mormons believe blah, blah, blah. But it's essentially
the ones that are bad became black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa!
It's still essentially, you know,
the part where they're like the ones that were bad became of the dark skin.
No, that was the same guy. That was the sin of being neutral.
Of course, I have the whole thing.
It might be four hours long. Oh,
God.
I listened to some of it once just to kind of be like, you know,
okay,
what's the deal with it? But
man, those Mormons are fucked up.
Yeah, Mormons are fucked up.
So, let me get this straight.
Sorry, darkies, you're predestined to be what you are.
The darkness! It's pretty
yeah, hard up.
You know, shame on them for being neutral.
That's what you get for sitting on the fence. I guess.
You fence sitters.
Take this fence.
I, when that part came up, everyone's jaw literally dropped.
Yeah, I know. That's a fun watch, because just to watch how people react to it, because they just feel like, here's this fucked fact. What do you think? And people are just like, ah.
There's a lot of stuff that the what the fuck factor was really high on, but that part especially, I was like, because I had heard people say, well, Mormons are racist. And I was like, you guys are just pulling this out of your ass, but, you know, they might be some truth. I don't know.
Have you asked the black Mormons?
Are there black any Mormons? Black Mormons?
I've never, dude. The only people I've seen, the only people that I've been seeing riding in bikes are those.
I think, though, not, they're not all Mormon, though, are they?
White is whitey.
White is whitey.
White
is whitey. Dude, you saw the video. Come on, man.
You know what's interesting to me is that church that you know, where they arrested all those people, blah, 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 and everyone was calling it a cult. That the Mormons were calling it a cult, but I was like, that's kind of odd.
Was that here in town?
They are a break off, sort of.
Is this something that I missed? Or,
yeah. I mean,
the Texas where the kids bit. Got.
Oh, you mean Waco?
No. where the children got taken away from the polygamous parents sect because they were like 13, 14 year old pregnant girls.
This was only like top page above
for a couple weeks.
Since I stopped working at the television station, I've like.
Oh.
Gone kind of, you know, where I was constant bombardment by television. Now I'm like, oh, peace, quiet.
Let's play a game.
All right.
This week's game.
Our team name will be Fuck Them.
Yes. So it's Fuck Them versus the Sexy Pair.
That's spelled P-A-U-C-K.
And this week we have 16 items. And,
only 16? Yeah. Travesty.
It is reggae group. Slang term for marijuana.
Okay. Oh, well, I went to public like schools in South Augusta.
So, here we go. And there is. Remember,
is that Paul?
Yeah,
it is.
Paul.
Hello.
There is hope for fuck you
Paul!
Yet. Oh no, that's the other
it's
Paul.
It's my Paul. It's my brother Paul.
It is the
what? What's up?
Have a seat.
You just hang on. There's Rex and Amanda. They're really shy and don't
want to. Who? Why not? You have more people.
Wow!
You okay. Behind you?
You have more people?
Are they Mormons?
No, they're not. None of them are Mormons.
Are you Mormon?
Oh God, no!
Are you black?
We just watched the Mormon cartoon.
Hello.
John's brother Paul has joined us. Not the other Paul we were talking about. And then I'm real bad with names.
Amanda Rex.
And Amanda Rex.
You guys like smoking pot?
No.
Do you like reggae?
A little bit.
Okay. You want to do 5 against 2?
I am a reggae specialist.
Well, yeah, all of us against the two of them should be good.
Okay. I'm feeling you're going to have more time to consensus, though. So,
what, listen to reggae?
So, here we go.
Anything.
Okay. Andale. Allons-y.
Arabismo.
Good.
Baby Cham. C-H-A-M.
Baby Cham.
Well, somebody say an answer, please.
We'll go with reggae.
We'll go reggae.
Executive decision.
So, it says Mormon video.
So, they're going with weed, you're going with reggae. They're right, it's reggae. Hubbly bubbly. It's spelled exactly like you think it is.
It sounds like pot.
Yeah,
we're gonna go with too. We're gonna go with slang for weed.
That is slang for pot. Square mackerel, as in the fish.
Yeah, that's
as opposed to what?
That's a reggae.
They're saying reggae.
Yeah. I think we're saying reggae too. Yeah.
That's actually pot. Sorry.
Well,
what?
Whatever.
Black Uhuru. U-H-U-R-U.
We'll go with pot.
You're going with pot, they're going with reggae. It's a reggae man.
I think I recognize
it. I think it's the
Jamaican Papa Curvin.
Pot. It's pot.
They're saying weed. You're going to
make it something.
Yeah.
That's a reggae band.
Sorry.
Indiana Hay.
I say that's neither.
It's just too obvious.
That. It's too obvious to be pot.
The other one was too obvious to be reggae.
I don't think it's either. Yeah.
It was a reggae band.
I don't know.
One of those
points. Isn't it great?
Well, no reggae band would be Indiana.
I love this game. Yeah, I would hate to play this game, but I love this game.
It's just too obvious.
Yeah. Pot. It's pot.
You're saying pot.
It's fucking pot.
Are you guys saying other?
She wants to say other.
I want to say other.
I'm tempted to say other, but.
Yeah, there's one that's other.
They're going to end up with 11 points. What is it? Five plus the one for getting it right.
Oh, yeah, so they would get it. You guys are winning.
We're getting our ass kicked.
Yeah. I don't want to leave that lead. But it'd be fun to come from behind. Why not? Let's say other.
And it is. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. It's actually. They were right. It's pot.
Eat it, bitches!
So what's the score now?
Yep.
It's a lot in our favor.
6-3.
You're losing badly.
Shinehead.
They didn't have any points before?
Sounds like a blown job.
They had like two.
Okay.
Yes, no, I'm sorry. Seven, you're right. I failed. 7-3. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Shinehead.
Shinehead?
Shinehead. It's all one word.
You want some Shinehead? You want a sack of Shineheads?
What's your answer?
Five. Reggae band.
He's saying five. Oh, Sam, it's a reggae band.
Oh!
Oh!
Sindog. S-E-N.
I said reggae. I
think this one's a reggae.
What was it again?
Snoop Dogg before
Sin
he
Dog.
Jesus, because he's in the sin.
Oh, that's right.
He's indecisive.
That's S-E-N. It's like a
Word. Like sin?
That's the Mormon sin. They do everything a little bit different. It's like Christianity with just a little twist.
Maybe it's sin.
And multiple odds. No. It's sin dog.
Well, I'm going to start right now. S-E-N.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I think we're going to go with reggae as well.
Yeah.
Reggae?
Reggae. I'm sorry, that was the other. You might know him from his friends DJ Lethal and B-Rail of the band Cypress Hill. King Tubby? That's not, I'm not calling you a name. I mean, that's the next one.
Yeah, I know.
King Tubby? I'm going to say.
You're so fat, John. So just look at you. That sounds like fun.
I'm going to have to go to too. Sure, when it's fun.
Yeah.
So they're saying five.
Yeah, reggae.
It's reggae.
Dicks.
Schlock.
We're almost in the lead.
S-C-H-L-O-O-K.
Weed.
Oh, it's smoked it.
Schlock.
That's marijuana, yes. Marijuana. So next is Moonraiser. R-A-I-S-E-R. I don't think it's a band either. It just sounds like horrible for a name of a reggae band.
What could be a bad reggae band?
I think we're going to go with bands.
You guys go with band. Band is a band. It's a reggae band. Bambalacha. B-A-M-B-A-L-A-C-H-A.
We think it's weed.
We think it's reggae band.
Reggae band? It's fine. Black Gungi. G-U-N-G-I. I don't know if that fucking pronounced that correctly. That's more... It's marijuana.
Now I'm sad that I showed you guys that because it's going to be nothing but bad Mormon jokes from here on out.
There's so much Mormon.
Just poison the well.
That's a good name, by the way.
Yeah, pot.
I think
pot. Pot. It's definitely pot. Man.
That is pot.
Yeah. Yeah, go pot.
Velvet Shadows.
Yeah.
I think not going to pot, still won't count.
It's just ridiculous for you. What's it again?
Velvet Shadows.
We'll go with weed.
Seriously, are we?
Sure.
You're saying band?
Yeah,
I'm saying for you to say band, too.
So they're saying band, and you're saying band.
No, we're saying weed.
Oh, they're saying
weed.
We're
saying
weed.
We're saying weed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's band.
Told you. Yay. I told you.
Who would smoke
but we,
Velvet
Shadows? Well, I know, but we can't win.
Kavit All-Star. I can't remember that right. Kavit. C-A-V-I-T-E. All-Star. Something that's reggae band.
Yeah.
Both saying reggae band?
Band.
Sorry, that's actually plot.
Whatever. Somebody may just make that shit up.
According to Wikipedia.
Oh, and Wikipedia is never wrong. From the guy who goes to Wikipedia and puts wrong shit in there.
I very much doubt that the page on slang terms for marijuana.
There is some anti-EVA. There is some anti-EVA out there fucking you up.
Right.
It's gonna happen.
Like from an alternative.
Fuck
yeah.
Them one.
Yeah, it's like a John Teeter kind of thing.
13 points.
Yeah.
We should talk about
John Teeter. Six.
Ooh.
Ooh. And that was supposed to be slanted to us.
Yeah. 13-6.
Now, let me see if
day
I can
after
find
Friday the 13th.
Songs on my computer about marijuana.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's you think that's not
good call, Toddy Todd. Yes.
I'm not joking around. People learning about what they smoke in my oven's on high when I roast the quail. Tell Bill Clinton to go and inhale. Exhale, now you feel the funk of the time when I feel the effects. I want to get high.
Oh,
got to listen to Cypress Hill.
Something about weed.
Yeah. Some Cypress. It was that one Cypress Hill song about pot.
Yeah.
That they made that one time. And then we listened to I Monster with Daydream and Blue.
Oh, that's a good one.
Cool.
The advice column.
I actually had a. I mean, I have to perhaps read it first and then translate it. I had actually smooched my girlfriend. She started vomiting a few hours later. I don't know.
That's not the question.
So is she pregnant?
You need to take a coat hanger, stick it down her throat. Because we don't want those mouth babies.
And if you're still pregnant a month later, you need to do it in the other end. So.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, you can do it in the other end just to be
mouth
sure.
Mouth babies?
So
mouth
but make babies. Sure you use the mouth first.
Mouth
you
mean, babies.
You know, otherwise, that's just disgusting.
Yes. Find a tall building, jump off it. You don't need to breed.
Or perhaps just quit drinking.
Well, maybe it's like a 5-year-old.
Well, now...
I can forgive a 5-year-old for that question.
I kissed my girlfriend! Does it make her pregnant?
A 5-year-old's more likely to say smooched.
Probably, yeah.
Than made out. You know, there is the possibility that, like, maybe she gave him a blowjob first. Then they kiss.
Yeah, see, now you're just getting into bizarro retard baby territory.
I'm just trying to think how this exchange could take place.
I'm kind of guessing that the vomiting actually isn't related to the smooching.
So my advice is...
Or if it is, if it has to do with smooching, it has to do with somebody else's smooching. Yeah.
This is my advice for that. Tic Tacs. Hell yes.
Yes, Tic Tacs.
So, moving along.
How high does a building have to be to guarantee death?
It's the person...
Well, that worked out well.
Yes, it did.
Follow-up to smooch pregnancy. I don't know. Are we playing by, like, Italian horror rules, where they just walk into the building and it's infested with demons? Or are we doing, like, the Dutch kind of elevator rules, where, you know, you need to work on terminal velocity?
Are those the only two choices?
Well, yeah, because, well, it's not very specific. It
depends on which area of body you hit.
I'm on a completely different route. I'm looking at, you know, like, it's some sort of architectural question. Like, if you build a building this high, people die.
Yeah, you just walk in, like, boom, and you're dead.
You know, like, up. Our people keep dying. I keep forgetting. Built the building too high.
Actually, my advice would be, you know, if you just jump and it doesn't work out the first time, just try again.
Find a higher building.
Yeah. Just keep going until you find one that works out for you.
And just get back to us when you're through with that research.
And why is somebody asking this question anyway?
Because he wants to try and kill himself, but he wants to guarantee he won't hurt so bad.
That's interested in suicide.
See, I mean, if they live...
And suicide is painless.
Yeah, he could be about to murder
this
somebody.
This isn't like the one question where it turned out it was actually a big joke from
Grapes of Wrath? Or Breaking Mice and Men?
50 stories?
Just shoot the person. I say three stories
if you're going to... Jump.
It says to guarantee death.
I always put them in kind of an order.
I would just go with the tallest building you can find. I mean,
well, yeah, if it's the tallest building in the world, and it's obviously a terrorist target.
So. Well, yeah. Well, and that way, if you miss, you know, you have the added bonus.
I think you're trying to guarantee death. I think the optimum thing to do is get yourself like one of those
suicide is painless.
You always have like for the like the Swami line, you know.
And of course, you die instantly. It is
destination point, you know, like where you're going.
And if you're jumping off the tallest building in the world, which is now the Burj Al Arab.
Oh yeah,
you'll land on one of those little terraces.
That's Dubai.
They're still being like very deceptive as to how tall it actually is right now, and how tall it will be when they complete it.
Which is a lot of skyscrapers, actually.
The same thing happened with the
Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building.
They're just being like so transparent about it. People keep asking, like, how tall is it? You know, so
I think they're pretty much going for whatever they can get away with structurally.
Yeah.
It's like, can we add one more story? Let's find out.
Let's just take a big metal pointy thing and stick
it
on the top.
The largest game of Jenga.
Yeah.
Okay. If I jerk off into my face and actually get some
of my cum in my mouth, does that make you gay?
wait, there's more.
And is semen safe to eat? I'm scared. I fucked up my stomach with all that sperms in me.
wait, read that last sentence again, please.
For some reason, I thought that was two separate sentences.
The same guy that the last
I'm scared.
No,
I fucked up my stomach with all that sperms in me.
I think it means all that sperm.
Yeah, well, sperm, all that plural, sperms. You know.
Yeah,
obviously, so, there's not just one.
Okay, so if you jerk off of your own face, you accidentally get semen in your mouth, or does that make you gay?
Yes.
Depends on how much you like it.
Yeah.
But
no, hold on. Wait a second.
If it fucks up your stomach.
But related. Not that you could, but if you did suck your own penis, would that make you gay?
Yes.
Something
I just
okay. What if it's like
you
a?
Like dick.
What if it's a clone? What if it's a clone?
Cut and dry, okay? To me.
What if it's a clone?
What, like semen? Like a semen clone?
No, that is,
no, a clone like Star Trek V.
Here's some semen cologne.
Like Star Trek V. Remember Star Trek V?
Clone.
Clone, not a clone, but there was a shapeshifter in Star Trek V. Was it five or six?
Six.
Yeah, five.
No, see, if it's a clone, then it's inbreeding.
Okay. Well, what if it's a like a
you
like
know,
a?
How is that inbreeding? If you suck
well,
your fucking
twin. Yeah, because
suck your own dick. That's inbreeding too.
Well, technically, if it was a clone, though,
you
it
can't
would
make yourself pregnant.
Yeah.
It would so, be like it would have its own personality and
yeah.
stuff. It'd grow up
you're
in a different life.
All right, now we're just getting into a weird area.
But what if you're? What if it's like a sci-fi world and you make like a time travel copy
yeah,
or something?
If it's a sci-fi world, there's probably already going to be like a society in place where that's totally
okay.
Okay,
but what if it's
you know?
like
go
you
there.
Know not that kind of sci-fi?
Well, then it'll suck. Right?
What if it's a naturalistic sci-fi?
Then it's like communism and it needs to die.
You said the definitive answer is
clearly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I think Amber's statement of how much you liked it does play a bit of a factor in it. I guess it determines how gay you are.
What if you accidentally do like you work on a horse farm
count.
Or something?
Yeah, he doesn't say he didn't do it on purpose.
I mean, if it's we all have accidents, it's cool.
All right, enough of that. Thank
wow.
God.
The noise that you just made.
The guest spot.
If there's one thing history has taught us besides not to piss off people called Genghis or put lead in your water pipes, it's that if you're going to make something incredibly good that becomes frighteningly popular, make sure it's the last thing you ever make in your entire life, because otherwise you get to spend the rest of your creative career struggling under the weight of high expectations and bricks. Will Wright created The Sims, a franchise which by shrewdly combining user-designed assets, the powers of a malevolent trickster god, and a massive amount of implied nudity now annually makes about twice as much money as Belgium. So can his new game, Spore, possibly live up to that legacy? In short, no. In long, no. Will Wright's career path can basically be summed up as meddle with people's lives at increasingly close-up levels. It started with SimCity, dropping buildings from space onto an earthquake hotspot to appease little black specks. Then later on it was The Sims, where you took direct control of little computer people to make them clean toilets and fuck. Now things proceed to their logical conclusion with a game that has you meddle with the very origin of life of the universe, including a depiction of evolution that would make a furious Charles Darwin eat his own beard. Spore definitely has some pretty amazing technology behind it. The sheer number of creature possibilities is staggering, and it's impressive how you can give them 18 legs and 7 eyebrows that'll still somehow find a way to walk and make suggestive poses, even if it does tend to clip into itself a fair bit, but then you just paint it blue and pretend it's a ghost. You also get to design your own buildings and vehicles further down the line, so if all you're after is some kind of 3D art program for 8-year-olds, Spore is definitely for you. If you're holding out for an actual game, then you get to eat shit. But never mind, you can always design a creature that looks like a huge cock and imagine it pounding you in the arse. The gameplay is divided into 5 sections for each stage of a sentient development, and for each one the goal is pretty much the same. Carnivores have to kill everyone, herbivores have to befriend everyone, except in the early protozoan stage, in which case carnivores have to kill everyone and herbivores have to die a lot. The transitions between the stages are about as smooth and natural as a controlled demolition. Once your cell has scoffed enough food pellets, the hand of God staples a couple of legs to your ass and kicks you out of the sea to start the creature phase. Here you spend a few hours killing other races or braiding their hair and giggling, while gathering the various body parts that litter the ground like there was some kind of horrific mid-air collision and nailing them to your body every time you get your mac on. Will Wright is clearly no stranger to the odd cheeseburger, because playing as a friendly celery-munching hippie race is a lot harder than being a bunch of aggressive warlike megalomaniacs who communicate by biting each other's faces off. Once you move on to the real-time strategy tribal phase, if you reject the savage meaty eating, weapon stockpiling lifestyle, you will quickly find that there are several tribes within convenient walking distance who didn't, and who will make you their little whimpering bitches before you can even break out the tambourines. A stark and accurate portrayal of the development of human society, perhaps, but probably not the intended experience, and it only gets more one-sided with the civilization stage, during which you either pay all the other cities to not kill you, or rampage around the world blowing up computer players who don't have the luxury of being able to pause the game and build 50 gun turrets. The chief failing of Spore is that it's trying to be five games, each one a shallow and cut-down equivalent of another game, with the civilization stage even going so far as to be named after the game it's bastardizing. The rigid level-based structure and its constant changing of gameplay feels restrictive and schizophrenic. A much longer gradual development from Zelda Sentience with more options would have felt less like just ticking off boxes on a checklist. Wasn't this the whole appeal of SimCity, watching the slow transformation from Scout Hut in the middle of nowhere to sprawling carbon dioxide spewing urban vomit puddle? That's why it felt so cathartic to then drop Godzilla into the middle of it, watching everything you worked for collapse neath his mighty tread, while crying and breathlessly rubbing yourself through your trouser pocket, or perhaps that was just me. The final space exploration stage seems to be what everything is leading up to, the rock under which all that trademark Will Wright openness was hiding. In fact, everything beforehand feels like an unusually detailed intro sequence, like the recap at the start of an episode of Lost. You get to cruise around the universe, turning planets into planets just like yours, plonking down colonies without asking, and introducing wildlife so you can torment them later with your tractor beam, a masterfully satirical dig at US foreign policy. If you're happy with a pretty, if repetitive, space sim, then hooray for you! It's just not the elaborate transcendental life simulator we were promised. Fundamentally, though, Spore will never have the appeal of The Sims because of the excision of the human element. It wasn't simply controlling life that made The Sims popular, it was controlling life that resembles people we know, or optionally Batman. So I guess what I'm asking is, can brightly coloured monstrosities really compare to Batman? Short answer, no.
Yeah, what should we follow Yahtzee up with?
Okay, let's listen to some music then.
Oh, here, I'm going to play the guidelines for AC Models.
Let's begin. Assalamu alaikum, people of goodwill. I offer you the greeting of thought manifested skill to finally reveal the open end chapter, as real as the flesh that you're embodied in. Till the skull cavity of your mind is rotten, and I'll be riding in. And it might have been a slight rotation warp to curve the course. Of course, I'm cordial when I report. I won't distort, I don't contort, connect, conduct, collect, console, or conceal. In full control of the role of the will. My eyes are my appliance to decipher the science, omitting defiance with the height. Tech mic check. The buttons that flashed are pushed for absolute destruction. Your structure is lifted from the ground. The foundation mound is broke, so you float around. I'm embedded in what is known as beat. Let it be shown every enzyme is complete. In time, you'll see the pace of the pulse pump. Rapidly, heart rate happily marched. I happen to be the dark man who holds the charts. I arch my horizontal line to make a rainbow. But it ain't the same though. Yo, the tried and true pros I chase and fools go. Sliding through holes like small rodents. It's obviously evident my embellishment peaks at 292 IQ. Cause Big Ace is the spinner, inner, sinner, inventor. And I plan to be a winner, meaning I'll be in the inner, outer, ovaries, overlord, overboard, overseas, here and overseas. More than the eye can, I scan, limited, primitive, sentimentalist, escapist. The way I shape this landscape automatically makes this vivid. I give it a ribbon, hold it, stand at the pivot. I love it, learn it, live it, then give you my exhibit. Not inhibited, not even a little bit. When I'm inclined, my attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. And you can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guideline. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. Cause I'd rather stimulate your mind than emulate your purpose. And we have only touched on the surface of the serpent. Consider me part of the dust and the dust. I must collect the samples from the rust. Penetrate the crust and trust no living. Driven by the sonic language passion, your ashes spark the flashes of the neon from beyond. What kind of planet could I be on? I don't know, but I'ma be on for eons and eons. While many think that they can never play out, get trapped in a time frame and never find a way out. I stay off the dramatization and I balance, always seeking the challenge to show the world the incredible talents. I cut the corners, smooth out the surfaces. Worthlessness is just half of the problem. I read the grid, kid. I did every column. I note the animal kingdom and the phylum wild style. Until they get to hit the target, I mark it on the bullseye. I flies on the buffalo wing in the sky. My architectonique sparks the dark streets of your resting ground. I suggest that you warn your town. I inhabit the oxygen more off the memory. You will never forget to remember the lone Wolverine, marine biologist machine with the verbal internal mind fertile, foot over hurdle, tight like girdle. When my word will be the last, I incubate every other millennium. I fast
blast and I hibernate to pass any of them. I am potent, untraceable. No color, no odor, no taste, no replaceable parts. No heart, no head, just a carcass. The darkest days come right before the light. I watch my watch and stand right before the mic. But the power's vested in me, I digested MC's food for thought. Caught onto the end of the rope and swung, then stood stiff as if I was on a cliff. Knobby knee sticks, my feet are made of bricks. When I walk, my footprints indent cement. I am not practical, nor am I unusual, nor am I oblivious to hideous crimes. Every city is captured and trapped in my mind, given the spinal tap as the final rap climbs. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. My attempts to redefine your hip-hop guidelines. You can play the sideline, ride rhymes in your spare time. Cause I have become the night owl on the prowl, master of the free pen pal style. Cause I'm omnipotent. I'm some government experiment that is out of control. I'm from some big black hole. I score up, select, and wrecked every tangle. I flare up and you can try any angle, even Bermuda. But I bury the barracuda, then I'm octagon in the wind with the pollen.
First, let me apologize for being late because
it was an awesome
last segment. So.
Yeah,
you know, I have to say that the homeless people here in Augusta are like 20 times more aggressive than the homeless people in Atlanta.
Yeah, dude, I was at a show one night, and
it's terrifying.
I was approached by the same homeless man like two times, and when he came out a third time, I just shout at him to get a job.
Well, now. I almost got assaulted by a homeless dude once, because back when I was working at the TV station, remember how we had that little back door?
Yeah.
It was one of those nights where, like, it was bad weather, like, off in bumfuck, and, like, I had to go and, you know, I was, like, the guy not doing anything at the time, and I had to run down the street to the restaurant to get, like, food for everybody during, like, you know, severe weather cut-ins or whatever.
Yeah.
So I volunteered to go and do it, and on the way back in, there's this homeless dude. He's walking down the little alleyway. He's literally got, like, a bag with fries in one hand and an unwrapped McDonald's hamburger that he's eating, you know, out of the wrapper with, like, you know, wrapper sleeve thing going on.
Okay.
And he sees me walking up with two bags full of food. And he goes, "Hey, give me some food." And I literally got so pissed at the dude. I'm like, "Fuck you! You've already eaten food!" And this guy got pissed back. Like, he throws his food down on the floor and he's like, "What? You're too good to give me food?" And, like, starts arguing with me about the whole thing. I eventually had to do, like, the, "Look, it's Elvis," and, like, run inside the door to distract him. And it was funny because I'm watching him on the security monitor when I got inside. And whatever it was that I did to distract him, he fell for it. And you see him, like, fuck, like, in the security camera right outside the door.
Well, tell me something. Like, Atlanta homeless, are they as creative as Augusta homeless?
They're pretty creative. I mean, they'll I hate to say it because it's kind of the bad way to put it, but they'll work for a bit of the money.
Okay.
I mean, they'll come up with some kind of gimmick, or, you know, they'll be like, you know, "Hey, I had my hand blown off by, like, you know, Gulf War 3. And it's like, "Well, we're only on Gulf War 2. And by the way, I see both your hands. But, you know, you are clearly in a really good fucked state, so here's $5, you know?"
No.
But
no.
They're very laid back about it. They don't get all like, "Give me money," you know? Here's
the best
face.
Homeless story I have. I was driving back from the train yard taking photos, and I was on what the part of town that Richie Rich likes to call Crack Town.
Which part of town is that?
Yeah, that's the Wayne Walker about 15th Street through about 12th Street, that area of Augusta, which is pretty bad.
It's a little rough.
And I was going slow because there was like a lot of construction at the time. This was a couple of years ago. This woman was walking. I was driving by, and this woman was on the, like, across the street, and she looks over at me. I got my windows down, and she goes, "Hey, baby," she starts walking to me. I didn't even let her get her whole thing into me. I don't think she was a prostitute, but maybe she was. She had too much stuff with her to be a prostitute. You know, prostitutes gotta kind of cut and go, you know what
maybe
I mean?
She was, you know, trying to be efficient, you know, maybe
anyway,
on a break or something.
"Hey," baby starts walking up to me, and I didn't even give her a chance. I just went, "Fuck you, bitch." But no, she ever laughs at that. What was funny to me, that wasn't the funny part to me.
I turned, I like looked at her, I said, fuck you, bitch. I turned back around, then I looked back, because I was like just checking to see where I was going, just because I wanted to see her response, and between the time I looked up further, the time I looked back, from her stuff, she had produced one of those balls that they have in the ball pit at McDonald's. Now see, here's what cracked me up. She threw the ball at my, you know, obviously trying to hit my car, but you ever actually pick those up?
Yeah, they're nothing.
Yeah, they're not good for throwing, because they weigh too much, and
they go about 3 feet and they drop.
Well, here's what happened. This big gust of wind at exactly the right time caused the ball, like a boomerang, to be, like, scoop around, and it hit her right in the face. And I just about slammed on my brakes, and I was like, I was driving off laughing maniacally, and I know she was, I imagine at that point she was like, this is the highlight of my life.
When
she dies, and she gets to that big, you know, big screen, like that thing that
God has, the review of your life.
Your entire life. Yeah. Like, they're gonna, when they get to that point, they're gonna pause.
And repeat.
Wind it back, like,
same
hey,
thing it's going to be. We're going to watch this
Peter,
again.
Check that out. Let's watch that shit again.
Instant replay. Oh, one more time.
So, slow-mo!
Fuck you.
Bam! Now, what were you going to say about your homeless story, Paul?
No, I mean,
I want to in the first place to say that to her.
I don't like homeless people.
Okay. So that's all it was? It was just hatred for homeless people?
No, I go downtown to
fuck homeless people.
Look, a companion to that story is I was walking down Ellis Street, okay? And a guy walked up to me while I was with my camera, and he's like, hey man, you got a cigarette? And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't smoke. I said it like that too, like real polite. I used to be polite to people like that. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't smoke. He went, well, fuck you then. I walked up and I was like, what the hell did I do? What, am I supposed to start smoking just so I happen to have cigarettes on me to help you? I didn't say anything because I was like, did that just happen? Okay, that one was just funny. That...
Too bad you're never here.
Well. Right.
I'm a big fan of the creative homeless person. For example, the ones that carry gas cans. And, yeah, my car ran out of gas. It's right around the corner.
Oh,
it's out of sight. It's just close, but it's out of sight. You know? I love that one.
I will tell you this. This was...
You gotta pity the people that are really.
You guys know Webster. Well, see, and that's the thing. I fell for that, and then I kicked him out when I realized it was a scam. Webster and I went to Zaxby's over on Walton Way, which is actually pretty upscale. I was really surprised there's a homeless guy out there. I don't know if he's homeless. He's one of those people who wanted to ride, basically. But he's walking by, or he wanted money, but he was walking into the restaurant, and he's like, hey man, look, I'm not. I hate, you know, the whole thing. I hate to do this and blah, 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 blah. It's the same story. You know this story.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but, you know, my truck's back there and it's out of gas. I just need some gas. So you give me some money. And I was like, really? Your truck's back there? Right there? He's like, yeah. And I was like, so what's the license plate? And he went, I know, but the funny thing is, he went, okay, it's not my truck. And I was like, fuck off. We're going inside. And when I get inside... You're still here. I'm calling the cops. I didn't say that to him.
What was funny is when it finds me, my dad read.
And I don't know my license plate either, just so you know.
Dude, my dad read Zaxby's, or coming out of Zaxby's, I forget which, we're in the car.
What?
And all of a sudden, this guy comes up, he's like, hey, you don't have nothing against black people, do you? And we're like,
we're
like, no. And he's like,
chips.
Can we give you a ride?
We're
like, no. It was just extremely awkward. That was the selling point.
What?
He was like, do I have anything as black people? And he like leaned over and was all like,
well, you gotta pull whatever, you know, magic tricks you can out of your bag.
Yeah, whatever you got.
For example, I'm sure that I first got to discover the whole gas can trick, you know. Of course, the guy pulled it on me. I just need some money, man. I'll tell you what, give me your gas can. I'll go fill it with gas for you and bring it back to you. What's that supposed to mean? Why? Okay, well, thing is, I can give you money, and you can walk to the gas station, or I can drive using your gas and take your gas can with me, fill it up, bring it back full of gas, no problems, right? But how are you going to bring it back? How are you going to spend $5 on something other than fucking crack, okay? Okay, one of us needs to drive. One of us needs gas in their car to drive home, and it's not me. What do you say? He stomped, turned circles, threw the gas can at me. I took
through
it.
The gas?
Well, through like the motion of like here, you know, take the damn thing. And I take it, fill it with gas, bring it back to him as he's pacing next to his car, trying to explain to the officer that he was sitting next to his car waiting for the man to bring his gas can back, because he said he would, but he wasn't sure. And the cop, you know, was like standing listening to his story and eyeing me as I bring the thing back to the guy to hand it to him. And I hand it to him, and he opens the back of his Ford Explorer, exposing two more gas cans, by the way. You know, then he feels, he puts the gas, you know, in the Explorer, and, you know, like, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to use a bullshit story, try and have all your bases covered, you know?
Yeah.
Let me
tell you, okay, this motherfucker right here moves to Alaska. He comes back for Christmas. And when he comes back, he borrows his sister's car. Now, describe your sister's car.
Is it a cow car?
Yes.
It was the cow car?
Yes.
It's got cow spots on it. So it's white with black cow spots all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your sister's car?
Yeah.
I used to see that all over the place.
You can flicker a cow car in my cow.
Yeah, it's not the only one either.
Well, it was right in the time period, so that
I'm
pretty sure it's going to be the only one.
That was his sister's.
That makes a certain amount of sense in retrospect.
So, anyway, he borrows the cow car.
Well, no. I mean, you know, it's all cool.
And he's been living in Alaska where there, in Nome specifically, where there are no cars. So he hasn't been driving.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a car yet. There were cars.
Oh, well, then what that makes sense. And he hadn't been driving. You didn't need to drive.
There's actually a lot of cars there, because pretty much you can take a car there.
If they go there to die, right?
Pretty much everything you can take it there, you're not bringing it back. It's anything big like a car.
So, well, anyway, I digress. So, he's driving us around town. We decided to go to IHOP.
Do you remember this story?
You will. So we were downtown for some reason, and we stop somewhere, and this woman, she was in her 50s, and she had, like, some Band-Aids on, and she was like, I need to get to the bus station, you know, I'm leaving my husband, he's abusing me, and blah, 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 and it was very convincing, and I'd never heard that one. But I was like, dude, you know, let's just, because by that point I was so jaded from going downtown so much, I was like, you know, fuck. I don't care what their story is. Fuck them. Unless they have a visible wound. Like, if I can see, like, a bone sticking out of their body, or if I can see them emerging from a car that's on fire, I'll go, okay, yeah, there's something to this. But aside from that, I bullshit. I don't care.
Even well, if, on fire. Legit,
I'm jaded. But he's like, no, we're picking her up. You remember this?
No.
He's like, and he's like, come on, hop in. We're going to IHOP. So we're driving to IHOP from downtown up Calhoun Expressway. And she's in the back there, and she does not stop talking. And it becomes real quick, just from what she's saying, that the entire story is bullshit. Because, like, she's constantly contradicting herself. Like, I was divorced several years ago, I haven't seen him in years. And you're like, wait a minute, you just said he abused you today. And, you know, and she's... I'm trying to get to California, but you don't remember this at all?
Wow.
Oh, jeez. So anyway,
we ended up
kicking her out at IHOP. For some reason, she was okay with being transported to the IHOP parking lot.
Well, it's kind of close to the bus station, back when the bus station was downtown on, like,
No, the bus station was downtown.
Oh, you were taking away from
downtown.
Okay, I see.
She rode to IHOP.
I'm thinking of a different IHOP, sorry.
You get more rides from full, satisfied people.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Those pancakes were great. Can I have a ride? Eh, what the hell.
Last homeless guy I gave a ride to, he accosted me at the movie theater, which is pretty smart.
Accosted you physically?
Nah, just like verbally. Like, hey, give me a ride. So I was like, okay. And dropped him off at that weird,
were going to end up being discovered in pieces inside trash bags on the freeway.
In like three different states.
Yeah.
There'll be a chunk over here, there'll be a chunk over here, there'll be a chunk up in New Hampshire. You know. I had something similar to that happen to me.
Some delicious legs.
Except I turned down the ride and then ended up almost getting arrested by cops. You know Bel Air Road where the I-20 interchange is?
Yeah.
And there's a Waffle House up. I think it's still there, but
there's Waffle House on both sides.
Yeah, there's one on the Evans side as opposed to the Fort Gordon side.
Okay. It's the most brilliant move that the Waffle House company's ever done.
You can't spit.
And neither one of them are ever full, by the way.
Yeah.
I've been there at Friday during dinner time, and it's like, oh, there's just.
Well, it's a Starbucks business model in action.
Yeah, you're right.
But
or Starbucks, as they call it.
At the Target Shopping Center in Evans, they have Starbucks, and then when you go inside Target, there's a Starbucks.
I still want to see the Starbucks inside the Starbucks. It's coming. It's going to happen.
That's but, the idea.
It was like back in high school, we had just gotten done. So it was like me and Jesse Davis, a couple other guys, went and saw Grosse Pointe Blank, and then we were like, let's go get something to eat. We go and get something to eat at the place, the Walmart, the Waffle House, thank you. And it was me and Jesse and Justin Moldy. I don't know if you remember him.
I knew Justin.
You know his name.
You knew Justin Moldy?
Yeah, we hung out a lot in high school. I didn't actually meet him until the senior year of high school, so we ended up hanging out a lot in senior year. Really?
Yeah, weird.
That's weird. It's like the whole sister driving your weird car thing. That's anyway, and there was one other guy
and
who
Mary.
Was...
Know Mary Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who didn't know Mary Lee? But,
yeah,
you know, we love you, Mary.
No. She came close though. Remember
a couple times, I think, yeah. But,
I think they're insinuating that she led a very interesting life.
Yeah, she led a very interesting life. So there's me and Jesse and Justin and this guy named Steve, whose last name I never knew. Two times that I hung out with him. So we're done eating. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I go out into the parking lot. We're still kind of hanging out in the parking lot talking. And this guy walks up from the Motel 8 behind the Waffle House parking lot. He's clearly drunk. I mean, he's got a 40 in his hand and he's just wasted. He's like, hey, I'm going to go down to the Circle K. 50 feet down the road. But if I go walking down there, the cops are going to see me and arrest me. So can one of y'all give me a ride? And I actually have to go in that direction. But everybody there was like, oh, sorry, dude. We're all going that way across I-20. Sucks to be you. And, he kept talking us up, trying to get us to take him. And none of us would take him. So we all get in our cars. We all drove separate cars. And we leave. And I go the way that I said that I was not supposed to be going because I didn't want the guy to, I just went across I-20 because I was like, I'll just turn around. I'll just turn around and that way, he won't be like, hey, fuck you, following me down the street.
See, I totally would, too.
Well, because my biggest fear is that I'm going to end up pissing off some homeless person who can do that Terminator 2 run where he just takes off after you and launches onto the car. I have nightmares about this shit. So I turn around, I go over I-20, and there's that little strip mall behind the Waffle House on the other side of I-20. It's like Eagles Cove or something. And that's where I took defensive driving courses. And it's kind of back behind, the pawn shop.
Okay.
So, at this point in time, my sister Jennifer was about to start taking driving courses. And my mom had said, hey, is that place still open? Because I would drive by it occasionally. And I kept forgetting to check in and see if the place was still open. So I was like, I got to turn around anyway. Let me turn into this parking lot and see what's going on. So I turn into the parking lot and almost slam into the cop car that's parked right in front of the pawn shop, which has just been robbed. So the lights are going, and here's me, and I'm pulling in. And I don't see the cop. I'm like, fuck, I'm leaving. So I turn the car around, I go back down the other way. Because I'm thinking, this is just my luck. I'm trying to avoid crazy, insane guy. He's probably homeless. And then I just walk right into, a felony wreck. So I hop in the car, I drive back the other direction, and then, within 2 minutes, the cop car that was there gets right behind me, pulls me over. And so I have to go through this whole story to the cop about I was at the Waffle House, and there's this drunk guy, and he wanted me to come down and, drive him to the Circle K, but I was like, no, I got to go the other way. So I was going to turn around in there because my sister wants to go to driving courses, please don't arrest me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this guy's going to think that I'm full of so much shit. But he let me go, and I guess he must have gone back to the Waffle, because we've been in the Waffle House for 2 hours at that point, and we had just left. So he's like, I'm going to go to the Waffle House, and if they remember you, you're cool. And if not, I have your name and address from your ID, and we'll be talking again later. I'm like, that's totally cool. Please don't kill me. Because this was back when I was high school and still afraid of cops. Before, like, all my friends became cops. So I didn't have to, like, worry about it. So I went around for, like, the next week, like, in fear that, you know, I was going to come home and there's going to be, like, eight police cars in my driveway waiting for me. And my mom with, like, the wooden spoon and her fists on her hips. Like, what the fuck did you get into? But
lately, the past thankfully, times, that never happened. I did this last night, too. When the homeless people come up to me, I talk to them in Spanish.
I had that happen to me. The Walmart.
And they just don't even pay attention. And then when they're like, there's hey, man, you got some land? I'm like, ah, chico de madre. Su madre es mi perro.
There's this lady that, like, haunts the Walmart parking lot up by my apartment in Atlanta. And she's one of those ladies, she's got the little card that says, I don't speak any English, I have 7 kids and no money, please help.
Never seen one of those.
It's, no, that's one of the greatest scams in the world, because it's like, you just hand them money and they go away. You don't actually have to talk. So it simplifies them all.
I promise not to be annoying.
Yeah, it's just, money. But like, she's hit me like 8 times at that same Walmart. Sometimes she's inside. Like, I was looking at shoes in there once, because I need to get like a new pair of running shoes, and I turn around and she's like, with the sign, I'm like, lady, I still don't have any money. And, like, by the 3rd or 4th time, she was like, fuck you! And would, like, leave. And I'm like, wait, you spoke no English! I'm on to you! I just...
Or if you think that's the one she does know, it's like...
That
you know,
maybe, yeah, sometimes, that's her stock response.
Fuck! What? Fuck. You! You got it?
But see,
see! Fuck you! Alright, yeah!
I was wondered if, like, I gave her $5, she'd be like, oh, fuck you! And, like, run off. I was halfway tempted the next time I saw her to give her like $5. But I don't live in a cash economy anymore. I just do everything on the card now, so I literally don't have any money. So people ask me for money, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have money.
I don't have money. I give him money.
Well,
after being asked, pisses me off.
I've on these podcasts before. I've mentioned the power of the pink neon tattoo sign and how it draws in the homeless. So everybody, yeah, anybody who's heard the podcast before knows that, you know, all, if you want to attract homeless people for, you know, research purposes or whatever, a pink tattoo sign, you know, in neon draws them in, and you can just like put them in boxes and file them and everything, no problem. The first couple of years on Broad Street, I'd be like, oh, here and here I help. I used to carry a lighter, but no cigarettes, because it's like, hey man, you got a cigarette? No. Well, I just wanted to have smoke. You got a light? I do. Here, for you. You know? And after a while of, you know, the word got spread, and it's like I'm in the middle of a tattoo. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, man. Oh, yeah, can I talk to you for a second? I'm working. I'm earning the money that you're going to ask me for. Okay? let me talk to you outside. No. Talk to me here. What do you want to know? Well, I won't disturb you. You already have. What do you want? Say it quickly. Well, see, I don't want to disturb you. I don't want to get in the way. You crossed the line, okay? Either ask me for money or leave right now. Well, see, I don't want to do it. Then don't. Fine. You're fired. Go. You blew it. Sorry. You know? And I got kind of, you know, aggravated to the point, and especially, like, if late at night, the place is closed, the lights are off, I'm packing up to go home, and they come knocking on the window. Hey! 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 I'm like, what the hell do you want? I want to talk to you for a second. Can you come out here and talk to me for a second? Tell you what, the next time you need my attention, you can either wait outside for me or jump up and down and wave. Don't beat on the window, scream, hey, okay? Unless you have a badge and a flashlight, that's not a good idea.
Somebody trying to murder you, maybe?
Yeah, you know?
There's a guy in a hockey mask with a machete behind you.
And, you know, to the point where I'd walk into the place, you know, I mean, I'd be in the place, walk around, like, you know, trying to get, you know, shut the place down and everything, and they come knocking on the window, and I'd pull out the gun and I keep nearby, you know, cock it, put it behind my back and walk to the door. Yeah, can I help you? You know? And that, you know, a few of them got the message base. I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that you were actually working at your job. I'll leave you alone.
Just live there and putter around, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it hurts over. I'm just going to, like, look at the walls, you know? And for those few diehards who just, you know, just had to keep, after hours, keep bothering me, I finally got to the point where it's like, hey, can I talk to you? Actually, no, you can come in. Come on. In fact, come into the back room with me. I want to show you something. That's okay, man. That's all right. No. Please, come with me. You know? And that's right about the time they stop bothering me at all.
Make sure you put on one of your latex gloves when you do that. Just really slowly, like...
Yeah, as you're saying, can I show you something?
Yes. Please, come with me. I'd like to... Yes.
No, no, you really need to see this.
Yeah. Come on. No, it's great.
I haven't been able to show anybody this in a long time.
As a matter of fact, the next time you get like a, hey, can I get a ride someplace?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Please, enter my vehicle. Please stop, keep it on the plastic for me, okay? Come on. Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't open the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I can give you a ride. But we never came to this side of town. If the cops asked you.
Mm-hmm. Cop pulls us over. No habla inglés. Say it with me.
All right, we're going to place a damn warrant.
Oh, damn warrant. I haven't heard him before.
Anything new? We have, yeah, we got a song called Maybe You'll Be the First to Die.
Oh, that's a hit.
Thank you.
listening to podcast number 51, we've had too many guests to name. The big ones worth mentioning are
the rest of you suck.
John and Todd and Paul showed up here at the end. And who else was here?
There was my brother Paul,
the stand-in,
Bizarro Paul.
Yeah,
the psycho Paul.
Yeah, is he psycho?
Not really. He's more bizarro than psycho.
He looks like
he's got kind of a psycho thing. Yeah. There was Bizarro Psycho Paul, Rob, Rex, and Amanda.
Did Rob actually have to duck to walk in?
Yes.
That was fucking amazing.
Rob is a very tall. He's the only man that
I
look up
to. I would have been able to stand next to him and
it never gets old.
Better idea.
He is very fucking tired of people being like, wow, you're tall.
Were you touching anything up there?
So,
he's staggeringly tall.
Which is why I was putting the point out.
I bet people that are taller.
Yeah.
I just come at it.
Well, it's like usually if you open with like, God, you're tall, or some kind of comment about you're tall,
my hour is very now.
That's the cutoff. It's like strike three, you're out.
You met Aaron.
He's the one that pierced my lip on the left side.
Okay.
And actually was the one that pierced.
You guys are leaving.
Bye.
Bye.
And I'm
love to all
red
your
Higa.
Sound effect.
Yeah.
Shoes. You know what?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck you! I'm Richard fucking Cheese!
Huh?